years.
Since for the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Whoops, what just happened? Then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. And if it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Boy, is that a scripture that moms live by or what? Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. That's vital. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with the Lord's people, those who are in need, and practice hospitality. And so it really is an exhortation that Paul gives us, but an exhortation from his word, from God's word, that moms, you guys can grab a hold of. The rest of us that are not moms can grab a hold of as well. So let me read a few of these things that will resonate with moms. These are called the myths of motherhood. All right, the myths of motherhood. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that a child is carried in his mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Amen, moms? Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a three-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Oh, amen, moms are shaking on that one, right? Somebody said, good mothers never raise their voices. Should I just stop there? Somebody never came out the back door just in time to see their child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Somebody said, you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said, you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up their nose. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. And somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. Moms, as we think about the myths associated with motherhood, it's a treasure to be able to call you out for all that you do, for the way that you lay your life down, for the way that you labor. And I think as Paul's writing Romans 12, he didn't specifically write it to moms, but I could see this as a true exhortation to moms and to the rest of us in the challenge of spiritual fervor and encouragement and strength and utilizing our gifts that God has given us ordainedly to be put in this position of influence. Because nobody can influence your family like you can, mom. Yeah, dad can in his way, but nobody has the ability to influence their family like you do. It's pretty amazing. Awesome responsibility. And moms, you wear it well. You labor well. You function well. So Paul, as we talk about this chapter, the background in Romans is really about the body functioning together, every part doing its purpose, right? And when the body functions together, we know that it's doing what it's supposed to do. But when the body doesn't function together, you can see that you're not going to be able to execute. For instance, the other night I was over there playing volleyball at the YMCA, and I went to go do something with my arms where you fold down your arms like this to do a bump, And something happened with my wrist where the ball hit and it went off far to the side. And so I looked at my wrist and I said, you were supposed to turn this way. You didn't function the way you were supposed to. And as a result, the ball went that way and the rest of my team was disappointed because we lost the point, right? But if your wrist would have come into alignment with the other part of the body where it was supposed to, then I could have had the right bump and it could have been something that my team could have benefited from. Just a little small example of failure of the body when we're not all doing our part, right? That there's something to be said about everyone functioning in their gift and everybody functioning in their role with excellence and everybody coming into line with God's purpose and calling with their gift. The body working together, functioning in those parts. For 10 years, I worked for a company that focused on multiple sclerosis, which is a drug, which is a disease that we make drugs for, but it's a disease that really begins to interfere with the communication to the body. In other words, your brain sending signals through the nervous system to the parts of your body to get it to function. When you have multiple sclerosis, unfortunately, your hands, your fingers, your toes, different parts of your body aren't getting the proper messages from your brain, and so they don't function in the way they're supposed to function. As a result, the body can become, as culture would say, handicapped or disabled in that way. And so it really is a picture of what happens when we don't hear from the head, right? When we don't hear from Jesus Christ and obey the message that he gives us, right? It's like the Holy Spirit speaks to us from the central nervous system of the brain, if you will, and begins to say, to the messenger or send the message out. And if we don't get the message or we don't obey the message, unfortunately, parts of the body are not in place to function the way they're supposed to function. So it's a real picture of us, how we need to work together, right? And how we need to all take our parts seriously in that way. Paul kind of exhorts us in the book of Romans about this, as well as 1 Corinthians, and talking about functioning that way. He says we're all needed in the body of Christ. Moms, we desperately need your grace, your gift in that way. He also says to encourage one another. He talks about a gift of encouragement, yes, but he says to encourage one another, and this is something everybody can do. Right? This is something everybody can step in. Now, some people have a genuine gift of encouragement. You've been around people like that, right? They always find ways to say, oh, you're awesome. You're so, I just want to speak life. And they begin to, you know, every time they're around you, speak that way. Remember Donna? You know, every time we get around Donna, she's out in British Columbia now with her husband, but they were here for 10 years. And every time, it's like, no matter what she was going through, she would just rise up and be able to say something, word of encouragement, a word of life, a word that would capture your heart, you know, in that way. I see our sister Fran having that gift of encouragement. She does it through her writings and just encourages the body and consistently sends out. And how many of us know we need that word in that season? Can you get that card at just the right time? I was thinking, man, I'm a loser. I'm not doing anything. And all of a sudden, this card came. Thank you for your influence and inspiration. Right? And it's just the word of the Lord that, in that time, that's how the body works together, right? So some have that gift of encouragement, but every one of us can step in and encourage and strengthen. You know, Greg goes to the clinics on Tuesday at Jones Franklin Road, and now there's some Saturdays we're going at the Drink Circle place and going to the abortion clinics really to stand. What an encouragement, he said, it has been for people to come alongside. Those that are able to show up, those that are able to commit to praying. I meet with Greg, we've talked about it, and he says, man, I just feel so strongly supported when the body of Christ comes together and says, like, hey, man, I'm praying for you. Hey, I'm standing with you. And occasionally they show up, and they're there, and they're partnering together, and it is such an encouragement and a strength for those in different spots on the front lines of ministry, right? And so even if we may not be able to be the one out there speaking to that person, preaching the gospel, we can be one of those that's standing in the gap praying, or we can be ones that are coming alongside to encourage, to strengthen, to support in that way. So we saw it at the very beginning, you know, in the book of Genesis about encouragement. God said when he looked at Adam, it's not good for the man to be alone. I need to send you somebody that's going to come alongside you, Adam, that's going to encourage you. And that's what God did right from the very beginning. And he's been consistently putting pieces in place. Moms, he's put you at a place in the family that you have the ability to encourage like nobody else, right? You can say words of life over your kids, and you do. You nurture them. I'm sure you don't feel like encouraging them at times. You feel like you're taking a piece out of, a chunk out of them at times. I get that. But, man, what an opportunity you have to to speak life over your family. And so this message is really to all of us, but to moms, to find ways to encourage your family, to speak life over them, for the rest of us to step into this this office, if you will, this opportunity to be encouragers, to speak life to one another. I think the only thing that really keeps us from encouraging others is a little pride. You know, when you think about it, it's like, wow, you know, I'm fearful to say anything. It's really a form of pride. Because if I say something, I don't want to look bad, or I'm not, I don't know what I'm going to say. It's a form of pride, right? It's just, and so we step out and we take the risk and we just say, hey, I just appreciate you and I appreciate your faithfulness. And we find something, words of life, to begin to speak to one another. Boy, imagine the body of Christ, how much momentum we'd pick up if we had everybody taking seriously this role of being encouragers. Encourage one another daily as you see the day approaching, right? And so it's a great opportunity on this day to talk about encouragement in that way, not just referring to the gift, but wanting to expand on the opportunity for all of us. So he says, and I want to start more toward the end and work my way back in these verses, but he says in verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And then you can share with the Lord's people, those who are in need. And so when I see this, especially to the moms, but I say this to all of us, that this is an exhortation for us to have our pitchers full regularly, right? It's an exhortation for our cup to be overflowing, for us to have an abundance to give out of. Because when we are drained ourselves, when you've been pouring out, and so this drink cup is a good example. When you've been pouring out, it's not going to spill because it's got one of those, you know, syringes, right? If I squeeze this thing, it'll come out. But when you've been pouring in and pouring in, and pretty soon this is empty, you've got nothing to pour into others, do you, right? And so in that same way, God comes alongside and says, if you're going to be a faithful encourager, if you're going to be able to encourage, you yourself have to be full first. You yourself have to be encouraged first. You have to be strengthened in your fervor, in your zeal. And so we said already in Hebrews chapter 10, the scripture we read even this morning, we read this last week, this is the call to persevere, if you will. Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way, open for us through the curtain, since we have a great high priest, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And so we're exhorted in the book of Hebrews, and moms, we're exhorted daily, I come before the Lord and just get sprinkled afresh with the blood of Christ, renewed. And I'm in his presence. And it's in his presence my cup begins to overflow. I begin to get filled up. I begin to get excited. Now, moms, many of you know that this is hard to do because your kids get up early. Especially when they're really little, right? They wake up crying. They have needs and demands. And so it really takes a level of discipline for you as moms that some of the rest of us don't have to go through as much, right? So we're not necessarily, and I'm talking, you know, obviously if you're in the nursing stage and all that, I mean, just, there's only so much your husband can do to help, right? So in that sense, he can go get the baby, but you get the picture. So the idea here is, moms, if your cups are going to be full, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require discipline for you to have something to give. Otherwise, you're three quarters of the way through your day, you're worn out, you've got nothing left to give. Right? So Paul exhorts us to never be lacking in zeal, to keep spiritual fervor, to be joyful in hope in that way, to be filled up, you know, in order to pour out to others. And so in that sense, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 gives us this exhortation, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing, talking about this idea of ongoing encouragement. Because we know that life can be wearying. We know that warfare takes its toll. We know that our pitchers, if I showed you that picture, that orange pitcher, get empty through difficult, long days, through the struggles of what you've been through, even as being a mom. And so we need to keep our spiritual fervor. We need the presence of the Lord that way. It's going to enable us not to lose focus on our mission, right? It's going to enable us not to back off in that way. I came across a few good quotes for you moms about spiritual fervor and influence, and from four or five well-known historical people, two presidents, two theologians and one, I guess, poet. What's Ralph Waldo Emerson? Is he a poet? Yeah. All right, so that's good. So here's what Theodore Roosevelt said to your moms. He said, praying mothers are America's greatest assets. And wouldn't it be nice if every president said that? Okay, so let's not go there, but you get the idea. Theodore Roosevelt said, praying mothers, this is America's greatest asset. It's not our GNP, gross national pride. It's not this. It's not it. It's our praying mothers. Great. Abraham Lincoln, another president, famous president, said this. No one is poor who has a godly mother. No one is poor who has a godly mother. Now here's the poet, Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, together is the most beautiful word in the dictionary outside of the word mother. So we talked about it. Just meditate on that for a moment. Charles Wesley, one of the famous preachers, said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. Well, how about you? You're just the influence, the life you live. And Charles Spurgeon, another famous preacher, said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. You pray, you labor. And so having that spiritual fervor is so vital because we're relying on you for so much, aren't we? You're going to get drained. You're going to get pulled from. You're going to get pulled on. You're going to get stretched and go through these struggles. And so we're relying on you in that way. Spiritual fervor is vital for us in our walk with God, especially for you moms as you're serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, being faithful in prayer. As I mentioned, our pitchers get emptied through these difficult and long days through the pouring out of others. And so Mark exhorts us in the Gospel of Mark. I'm sorry, in the Gospel of Mark, we're exhorted to find time alone with God, to go after him in the secret place. And to understand, this is, you know, this is one of the principles of regenerating myself. It's one of the reasons that God instituted the Sabbath. And why do we celebrate? We celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. I know historically Hebrews celebrated on Saturday. You know, when you look at that, why did God institute a Sabbath? Because he knew that there would be work and there would be vigor and there would be effort and there would be, a pouring out, a consistent pouring out. We need a place of replenishment. And so what should happen on the Sabbath? You should be watching football on a Sabbath, no? You should be laying on the couch. Well, yeah, some of that, that'd be good, laying on the couch. You should be replenishing yourself, right? It's like drinking fresh water from the presence of the Lord, being in God's presence that way. Just regenerating. Let your husband do the chores for the day. Amen. Let's hear that. Are you hearing that? No? Nobody's hearing that? Okay. And having a place of regeneration for your spirit, your soul in that way. Honoring the Sabbath is a good thing, just to be able to be refreshed, be renewed, have your mind renewed in the Word of God, in prayer, and reflection, and listening, and planning, and praying. And so that's a good thing as we highlight this. So Paul said in verse 10, to be devoted to one another in love, to honor one another above ourselves, to never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord in that way. So moms, in that sense, the exhortation is to be filled up regularly. We fill the overflowing so that we have something significant to give. I know, you know, for a fact, it's just easy to get worn out in your lifestyle. It's easy for you to get beat up. It's easy for you to get thinned out in that way, and so we need fresh filling. And so Paul exhorts us that way. And secondly, he does exhort us to pour into others, especially those in our family. Moms, we exhort you. Like I mentioned, there's very few influences that your children have that are as prominent. Nobody can influence them the way that you can influence them in the way of encouragement. And so you can speak life over your kids. Let me give you a definition of discouragement. It's a feeling of despair, as you can see, in the face of obstacles, or a state of distraught and a loss of a sense of enthusiasm, drive, or courage. Whoa. Some of your moms are looking at that and saying, yeah, I've seen that in my kids. I've seen that, right? A loss of sense of enthusiasm, drive, or courage. And so what do they need at that time? Maybe a swift kick in the pants. Yep, that's what they need. But they need encouragement somehow, right? There's encouragement to in that sense, because we know the enemy's attacking the minds of people, trying to discourage them, trying to bring them down, trying to erase some of their enthusiasm, passion for God. One of the toughest things that I watch right now with my dad going through Alzheimer's is he, his memory is so short. I mean, he can still remember long-term things, but he'll ask the same question within the same conversation four or five different times because he can't recall that he asked that question just a few minutes ago. And so it's easy for me to listen and get discouraged, but you know what's so uplifting is during the whole call, my dad will never he'll never give himself the discouragement. He just says, "I'm doing great. Yeah, life couldn't be better." And he says, and I know he's not making it up. He's choosing to put on a spirit of encouragement. He's choosing, I can't even remember some of the stuff that I just told you a few minutes ago, but I'm putting on encouragement in that moment. And so there's enough out there to discourage us, right? There's enough out there that's happening right now in your life, in your surroundings, in your family, the things you're facing that could bring discouragement. And so we as the body of Christ, moms especially, you have an opportunity to be the answer that God's put in place to speak words of encouragement, words of life, words that really typify a mom's sacrifice, a mom's laying down of her life. So I read this story, and maybe some of you are familiar with this story. It was a long time ago, but it wasn't too long ago. It was August of 1987. There was an airlines flight, Northwest Airlines flight 225. It crashed tragically after taking off from the Detroit airport. 155 people that were on board were all killed. Only one survived. It was a four-year-old. She was from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. Rescuers, they found her. They did not believe she had even been on a plane. They assumed that Cecilia had been a passenger in one of the cars on the highway onto which the airline crashed because it landed and came down on the highway. But when the passenger register for the flight was checked, sure enough, there was Cecilia's name. Cecilia survived because even as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, and wrapped her arms and her body around Cecilia and would not let her go. Nothing could separate that child from a mother's love. Neither tragedy nor disaster, neither the fall nor the flames that followed, neither height nor depth, death nor life or death. And so the picture of a mom's love speaking encouragement, I know you've seen this time and time again. A mom willing to sacrifice her life for the good of her own kids so that they can survive. And every one of us needs that kind of encouragement. Think about Joshua as he went and spied out the promised land. Who did God give him? Remember? There's another guy that God gave to Joshua to be a partner to help go spy out the land. Yeah, go ahead, say it out loud. Caleb, that's right. Joshua had a Caleb, right? Together they stood in faith. They faced the promised land together. What about Paul? Paul had a good buddy that was known as an encourager. His name was Barnabas, right? So Paul had this Barnabas brother that was the ultimate encourager, right? And so they spread the gospel together. The women that watched Jesus die before the cross, they gathered together and had each other in that way and were encouragement to one another. And of course, Jesus himself had Peter, James, and John, his inner circle. He had three close heads. All the disciples, but he had these three disciples that were his inner circle, and so they would encourage each other. Who do you have in your circle? Who do you have that's speaking life to you? Who do you have that's encouragement to you? I think for those of us that are married, we know how encouraging it is to have each other, have our spouse, go for a nice walk. Wife often speaks words of encouragement in those times to me. I desperately need words of life. You know, who do you have that's taking? And so, moms, this is a great opportunity for your husbands needing encouragement, your kids needing encouragement, but for the rest of us to speak those words back to our moms. Imagine that. We read that myth. You know, my mom doesn't need to hear that she's loved, right? That's a myth. Speaking those words back, and this is, of course, a day where we can tell our moms how much they encourage us, and so we're encouraged in that way to step up. So Christ came to deliver us from the onslaught of the attacks. We understand that. And so in that way, I think we ask the question, how can we fill others' cups? How can we pour into others with the hope of the gospel? As I mentioned, God designed this walk of faith that we wouldn't walk it alone. Joshua, Caleb, Paul, Barnabas, and some Jesus and the disciples in that way. And so I would ask you to ask yourself the question, Who's out there today that I can make an effort to purposely, on purpose, with intention, go and encourage? Maybe buy them a cup of coffee. You spend some time with them, send them an email. Give them a phone call. Boy, that's even better. It's a little riskier talking on the phone than it is texting. Anyway, that's just something I could do. Is there some, maybe I could bring them some chocolates. I got a few extra right now. You know, I got to bring them some. This is good. I don't want to eat all these myself. So, I said I was, but yeah. Right? So I could bring them some chocolates. Maybe there's something that who can I encourage today? What may they be dealing with that I could say or do something that they would know they're not alone? I'll just put that on. What may they be dealing with that I could say or do something that they would know they're not alone? I could come alongside of them and let them know they're in this fight. I'm in this fight with them. We're in this together. We're partnering together in this process. Moms, boy, that is something you do on a daily basis. We affirm you as you pour into others. So Paul exhorts us in Romans chapter 12, as he says, reduce each of us as one body, many members. So in Christ, look at the wrong verse here. Oh, here it is, verse 7. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. To lead, do it diligently. Show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so the exhortation is really clear for us to step in to that role. The final thing I wanted to share with us this morning was from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And this is a word of experience, especially for you moms. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And so when Paul's exhorting the Corinthian church here, just as he does to the church at Rome, he's basically saying, moms, this is something you've got a wealth of experience to share what you've experienced, to share what you've walked through, your hardships, your difficulties, your trials, and what it's meant to you. Sister Sharon, your testimony right at the very beginning. That just added life. I can just see the life level go up as you chose not to abort yourself, and you chose to obey God, and look what he's become and what he's becoming. He's a great guy. So in that, share what you have learned. You know, share what you have learned. This is a great opportunity. What is God taking you through? From 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, he says, we ourselves have walked through some of these difficulties, some of these trials, so that we can encourage others. And I remember talking at one point to a lady who was a widow. She had lost her husband, and she began to share how difficult it was, how challenging it was. But you know, even though she had walked through the pain herself, how she could come alongside other ladies, especially that were just newer, had lost their husband more recently, they could come alongside and be a blessing to them. And so, yes, she still had to walk through all her grief and all the challenges and all the difficulty, but God used her and still using her to be a voice to those others that would come into the same place and have nowhere to turn, don't know what to do, don't know what this territory is like. And so what it becomes to be a voice of healing and a comfort and encouragement to those that are walking through the pain of such a tragic experience. So he wants to use that to comfort and encourage others, to use some of the difficulties, some of the challenges that you moms have walked through, some of the most stretching times, so that you can be a giver of life to others. Just an encouraging word I want to challenge you is, moms, you may want to write down, or all of us, you may want to write down some of these stories. You may want to write down some of the things you walked through, because I know as memorable as some of these things are, you can forget. You can forget the pain of it. You can forget the difficulty of it. You forget some of the things God spoke to you in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that challenge. And so I encourage you, it might be good to write it down, journal it somewhere, so that you have a part to bullet, to highlight, to be able to say, hey, let me tell you about some of the things that God spoke to me during this particular trial in my life, and you'll be able to use it to build someone up. And so that's what Paul's telling us, is God is going to use what you have walked through, these challenges, these things you've overcome, these things you're still maybe even walking through, to build somebody else up. Is there somebody else out there just waiting unfortunately, to walk through some of the same things that maybe you've already walked through. And so thinking about ways you can share your story will bring life. In 2 Timothy, Paul exhorts us to share these things with other faithful people, that it would continue to cause growth. And I just think about continually going back to that story of that mom on the plane, right? Last moments of her life, what was she thinking about? How can I lay my own life down so I can send forth the next generation? What did Christ do on the cross? We celebrated Easter just a few weeks ago. We've been talking about the blood of Jesus. How can I sacrificially lay down my life so that others can live? And so in that sense, that's what we celebrate, moms, today. We celebrate about you, your sacrificial love, your giving, your caring, your nurturing, your investing, and that you have the ability to encourage like nobody else. And so as I think about this, you know, we talked about being continually filled. What's the scripture there? I think is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Be continually filled, stirring up that spiritual fervor, getting in the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10, knowing that I can boldly come before his presence and that the blood cleanses me from a defiled conscience, and that in his presence, that's where I become more effective, ready and able to be used by the Lord. That's what's awesome about the presence of God. It's not just for you. It's others who are going to get some of the overflow of that. It's really good. And then pouring into others. So being continually filled and having opportunity, being intentional about pouring into others. All of us can find ways to encourage somebody with some nugget that God's given to us. Is there a scripture verse that comes to mind? Maybe something you've been meditating on lately? Maybe something God's been showing you, stirring in you, might not just be for you. Maybe he gave it to you because there's somebody in desperate need of that word when you're even going to Aldi or when you go down to the Target or when you're at work and you're having a break at work and you're at the little kitchenette area or something and they're coming by and they're talking about some of their struggles and their problems. And to share what you've learned, as Paul exhorts us in that sense in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the same comfort that we've received, we'll be able to comfort others. There's a purpose in every hardship we're walking through, right? Every difficulty, every challenge, moms. And so that's why I encourage you to write it down, record it. There's some great memories that will make for a great story. But you'll also be able to relay the life that God has brought to you through those struggles. So moms, we just want to exhort you today in that way to say thank you for your sacrifice, to say you have the ability to encourage us like nobody's business, like nobody else can. Encourage your family. God's given you a place. For the rest of us, I want to challenge and exhort us. Who is out there today that we can find a way to speak a word of encouragement to them? Maybe God's already targeted somebody in your mind. Maybe it's somebody at work, maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood, maybe it's somebody in the church that you haven't talked to in a while. Who is it? Lord, what can I say? What can I do? Let's take that before the Lord and just close our time in prayer, Jamie, if you come. And just offer that to the Lord. So, Father, we are just so thankful that you came to give us of yourself, the riches of your inheritance, the surpassing greatness of your power, Lord. You've opened our eyes to see wonders, miracles. Lord, you've walked us through some of the difficult challenges and trials of life, and we're just amazed at your goodness to us. And so, Lord, we want to be conduits of your goodness to others. Vessels. Channels. Lord, I think about our moms in this room right now. Those that are out in the children's church, those that are not able to be with us today, I think about them. Lord, I pray for them. Oh, God, I pray that you would strengthen their hands that may have fallen down. I pray that you encourage those moments when they feel like quitting, giving up, like they're not making a difference. Oh, God, that you would erase those lies. You would speak life to our moms afresh. Build them up in the most holy faith. Strengthen and encourage them because, Lord, they've got so much to give in the way of encouragement to others. Lord, I pray you equip the rest of us that we too would find ways to speak words of encouragement. We'd overcome our pride, we'd overcome those obstacles that might be standing in the way, and we would find ways to speak a word of encouragement to somebody that desperately needs it in this week. It's our mission. You're sending us out on a mission. So I'm trusting that each of us will have a testimony next week. We may not all get a chance to share it publicly, but we may each have a testimony next week of somebody that you put in our path that we were able to encourage and speak life to. Just receive that by faith. We give you the glory. Lord, today many of us are fighting the throes of discouragement. We cast our cares on you as you care for us. And we receive the gift of God afresh, having our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. And Lord, being purified through your blood, we stand righteous before you. We receive your goodness to overcome discouragement right now. In Jesus' name, let's stand together. We're just going to offer ourselves to the Lord.